Chapter 3. Ancient Texts and New Visions. The better stories we tell on a Sunday morning or Saturday night or whenever we gather have their roots in our ancient texts. Scripture is chocked full with commentary on the relationships between body and soul, bricks and mortals, flesh and spirit. You might argue that one of its central themes is the unity of these two presumed oppositions. When we think about religious buildings today, we act like we never read Scripture or have serious amnesia about what it says. The unity of body and spirit. Scripture argues that souls are holy and bodies are holy. There is nothing dirty about the material, nor inherently clean about the soul. The epistles are filled with pictures of the jazz-like unity of the body and soul, the small and the large. We're referred to as treasures in clay jars in 2 Corinthians 4:7. Our bodies are called a living sacrifice in Romans 12:1. We're asked whether we understand that our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 6:19. You could preach a million sermons about each of these texts and never fully understand them. But if we did begin to understand them, we would never desecrate the earth or a building again. The key to saving the earth is in saving our buildings and understanding the magnificence, impermanence, and constant changing of our bodies. Whoops, I meant our spirits. Like our bodies, they are permanently renewable. Unfortunately, we often function as if there is a clear binary between the spirit and the body, and we make choices based on our view of which is more important. Liberal Christians may argue, we shouldn't spend money on the building, but instead on program. As though the building had nothing to do with program or the program was somehow holier than the bricks. Conservative Christians might argue the opposite. Never spend endowment. We may need it for a rainy day. Make sure the building looks gorgeous and clean in order to glorify God and don't let those AA people smoke cigarettes in the parking lot. In-between people, those today we call purple, don't necessarily have a more embodied theology so much as they frequently waffle. We just don't have the money to do what we want to do, so let's not be grabbed by the gospel so much as be frugal with it. Spend carefully on the building and on the program. Go cheap. A truly good woman once offered her used couch to the church. It will be perfect for the youth group area. It was old, torn, and uncleanable. When parents brought their young teens to the youth group, the first thing